What's the real secret of happiness? We'll talk about that. Plus, we'll look at Saints Peter and Paul on this episode of the Gary Zimak Show. Stay tuned. Here we go. Welcome to the program. Come on in. I saved a seat for you right up here in the front. My name's Gary Zimak. Great to be back here with you on Blog Talk Radio. We got a good show today. We are celebrating. Today's a big day. We celebrate the solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul. We'll look at the mass readings for this solemnity. Also, we'll take a look at happiness. What truly makes us happy? We'll open up the book My Daily Bread, which I like to do every Wednesday, and look at what Father Anthony Paone, has to say about true happiness. So we do have a lot to cover here on the program. I'm sorry, I took a sip of Mystic Monk coffee. I'm drinking some Tanzanian Peaberry, which is a new flavor that I got. It's really good, but I managed to take a sip just before I went on the air, and it kind of got stuck in my throat a little bit. When I'm here by myself and I'm the only guy doing the broadcast, it's kind of hard to fake it. But I was trying my best to get through it. But I figured that I better tell you what I'm doing so you don't think that I dropped over or something. Oh, man. It is great to be here with you today on the program. I hope you were able to catch me on the Sunrise Morning Show this morning. I talked about, continued the series, about my new book, Find a Real Friend in Jesus. And after that, I was on with John Leonetti on Iowa Catholic Radio on his program. I'm so blessed to do so many of these different shows. And now I'm here with you. And we're going to talk about some really good things on the show today. And just as a reminder, I want to thank you for, I took a look at the numbers, and I want to thank you for your purchases from Amazon using the link on my website. That really is a big deal. If you could remember to do that every month, every time you purchase something from Amazon, just go to followingthetruth.com first. And go to Amazon by clicking on the link on my website. There's an Amazon link right there. If you do that, you really help me out. And this is one of the ways that I keep this show free of charge. And also, I keep my full-time apostolate going. And that's one way you can help me without even sending in any contributions. So it's a great thing. It's, you know, I'm very grateful for your generosity there, and also your purchases of Mystic Monk coffee. I'm the type of guy that drinks coffee throughout the summer. Not everybody does, but if you get a chance, please check out the great coffee at Mystic Monk Coffee. Once again, available through followingthetruth.com. Just click on the Mystic Monk image and you'll be all set. And every purchase you make through my website results in a small profit for me as well. In addition, please, and if you've noticed, if you're on Facebook or any social media outlets, you're going to see a lot of ministries asking for increased donations now that we're in the summer months. There's a reason for that, because donations drop off rather drastically in the summer. And in my case, there are less speaking opportunities as well. So that's why I have to turn to you and ask for additional donations. And if you'd like to help me, if you're able to, and please, as I always tell you, don't put yourself in any financial jeopardy. But if you have something and you're able to send something my way, either to become a monthly sponsor or to make a one-time donation, I would greatly appreciate that. And you can do that by going to followingthetruth.com. And I thank you in advance. It's a big deal. Through the years, I was in adoration today, spending some time before Jesus, and I was just remembering some of the people who have helped me through the years. Incredible. Some individuals, I've lost touch with some of them. Some have been with me from the beginning when I first started full-time as an evangelist in 2012, but I am just so grateful that the Lord has sent so many people my way to help me financially, to help me spiritually through their friendship. And there's a good chance that you've been with me from the beginning too. So if so, I thank you. If you're a new listener, I thank you for that too. Let's continue to hang out together and try to walk this walk, which will one day, God willing, result in life in heaven. Amen? That's what we're all trying to do. Keep in mind also total consecration to Jesus through Mary, God willing. If I'm here and we can keep doing this show, that will begin in September this year. It's going to be unlike any of the preparations that I've ever done in the past. We're going to use several different books, several different methods of preparing for total consecration. We'll do the full 33 days. But I'm going to use all kinds of different sources. I want this to be really special this year. This is the sixth year that we've been doing it. And as I've been saying on the program, I think sometimes if you do the same method each year, you start to get a little complacent. You start to think, well, I've already heard that. So I need to spice it up. I really want to look at what St. Louis de Montfort said about this preparation period. And again, as I've mentioned before, he never came up with a day-by-day method for preparing for total consecration. All he did was come up with some guidelines and what each week should consist of. I'm going to use that and use all of these various methods and try to put something together that will help you to prepare for total consecration or your renewal of your total consecration. So stay tuned for more on that. That's going to be kicking off in early September. I don't know the exact date, but I believe it's September the 4th we start it, and then we make our total consecration on October the 7th. So again, stay tuned. I'll be giving you more information. And if you have any questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Well, we've got a lot to cover on the program today, so why don't we get right to it? Let's recall that we are in the presence of our Heavenly Father, who loves us unconditionally, who gives us His undivided attention. This was something that Anna Mitchell brought up on the Sunrise Morning Show today. She has a little post-it note on her computer that says something to the effect that I am going to try to recall that God gives me His undivided attention at each moment of the day. That's incredible. When we speak to Him right now, our Heavenly Father is giving us His undivided attention. That rarely happens with anybody that we know. I don't care how close they are to us. I don't care how much they love us. To get their undivided attention at any time of the day, that is very, very unusual. So we're very grateful that our Heavenly Father views us this way. He thinks we're so important that He will give us His undivided attention. So let's turn to Him now and pray. As we begin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. Thank you for giving us your undivided attention. Thank you for loving us unconditionally. Thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus, to be our Redeemer. Thank you for the graces that you give us every day. Thank you for all the ways that you provide for us. Please continue to help us, so that we may stay on the path which will one day lead to eternal life in heaven with you. Father, we lift up anyone who is sick today, anyone who is anxious, anyone who is lonely, anyone who is struggling with doubt or despair, anyone who is dealing with addiction, anyone who is struggling financially, dealing with religious persecution, or facing some sort of a weather-related problem. We pray for the homeless. We pray for the homebound. We lift them up, Father, and we ask you to bless them and help them with whatever it is that they're encountering. We ask that you bless us and our family members. We ask that you accept our own personal intentions and answer them in the best way possible. Father, I give you this program. I ask you to speak through me today. Allow the gifts of your Holy Spirit to become stirred up in me, so that I may proclaim your message. And please open our minds and our hearts so we can all hear what you have to say on this program today. We pray for our priests, our religious, our deacons. We pray for an increase in vocations. We pray for peace in the world. We pray for an end to all forms of terrorism. We pray for our government officials, that they may follow your law, Father. We pray for an end to abortion. We ask for all of these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saints Peter and Paul, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Man, we got a lot of people on the job praying for us today, don't we? As I mentioned at the start of the show, today is the solemnity of both St. Peter and St. Paul, two great apostles. A lot of us don't realize that St. Paul was an apostle. He was known as the apostle to the Gentiles. He was not one of the original 12, but in his writings, he says that he was named an apostle, called to be an apostle by none other than Jesus himself. So he was called at a different time than the original 12, but he was indeed an apostle. Let me read a little bit about this solemnity, and this is from the Magnificat. Peter, the head of the apostles, and Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles, have been remembered together on this date since ancient times. Peter started life as Simon, a simple fisherman from Bethsaida, who worked alongside his brother Andrew. Jesus changed his name to Cephas, meaning rock. On this rock I will build my church, Jesus said. Paul had been Saul, a Pharisee and proud persecutor of Christians. After an encounter with the resurrected Christ on the road to Damascus, he gave his life to preaching the gospel to pagans throughout Asia Minor. Tradition holds that both men were martyred in Rome. These are the kind of guys, and by the way, if there's any confusion about Saul and Paul, sometimes we think that maybe Jesus renamed Paul or Saul to Paul. Actually, what happened, Saul was Paul's Jewish name. Since he was ministering to the Gentiles, he used his Roman name because he was a Roman citizen, which was Paul. And in effect, to be in an attempt to be more effective, so that they could relate to him a little bit more. So that's a kind of a little known fact. You may know that, you may not know it, but the important thing is they were both martyred for the faith. These are guys you want praying for you, because so many times we back down, don't we? We back down, not even when it comes to martyrdom, but we just don't want to look foolish and will not say things that we should say, you know. So let's keep asking these gentlemen to help us, as well as all the martyrs, because we can benefit so much by having that kind of faith. Well, since today is a solemnity, we have extra readings, so I'm going to start them now so we can get them all in. We have two readings. A solemnity, as you may know, is the highest holy day of the church. So this is a big deal. The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. In those days, King Herod laid hands upon some members of the church to harm them. He had James, the brother of John, killed by the sword, and when he saw that this was pleasing to the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. It was the feast of unleavened bread. He had him taken into custody and put into prison under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. He intended to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter thus was being kept in prison, but prayer by the church was fervently being made to God on his behalf. On the very night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter, secured by double chains, was sleeping between two soldiers when outside the door guards kept watch on the prison. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord stood by him and a light shone in the cell. He tapped Peter on the side and awakened him, saying, "Get up, quickly." The chains fell from his wrists. The angel said to him, "Put on your belt and your sandals." He did so. Then he said to him, "Put on your cloak and follow me." So he followed him out, not realizing what was happening through the angel was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first guard and the second and came to the iron gate leading out to the city, which opened for them by itself. They emerged and made their way down an alley, and suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter recovered his senses and said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people had been expecting." Now, when we look at a story like this, sometimes we assume that it's just a fairy tale, that it really never happened, but this is a true story. But we've become desensitized, really, to the fact that God can still perform miracles. We are very skeptical. Sometimes that's good, but a lot of times it's bad, because it causes us to forget just how powerful the Lord is and the great miracles that he can perform in our life. So don't forget that. It's an important thing to remember that if the Lord wants to accomplish something through you, if he wants to do something in your life, he can make things happen that seem impossible. You might not have such an extreme example as we see with St. Peter here, but you may see doors open. You may see walls come down, not necessarily literally, but figuratively. You might have somebody all of a sudden be interested in something that they never would have been interested in before. You might see somebody who had no desire to ever come back to church all of a sudden express an interest or ask you to pray for them. There are different ways that we can see this. Let's pray for the grace. Let's pray for the grace to believe that these miracles can happen and to recognize them when they do happen. Because I firmly believe that a lot of miracles happen to us and we don't recognize them because we attribute them to coincidence. So this is really good news. And if you're in a pinch right now, if you're struggling with some problems in your life, you want to remember that with God, all things are possible. And this story proves it. Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord will rescue those who fear him. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall ever be in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol his name. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him that you may be radiant with joy and your faces may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress he saved him. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Blessed the man who takes refuge in him. The angel of the Lord will rescue those who fear him. Now, going back to that first reading, the people of the church were praying to God on behalf of Peter, who was in prison. And we see that there's a result. This psalm kind of sums up the same thing. When you pray, something happens. Expect a miracle. The miracle might not be the kind that you anticipated or the kind that you want even, but you might get a different miracle. What you need to remember, though, is that every time we pray, we will get something. The Lord will answer. He might answer by saying yes. He might say no. He might say wait. We just never know. Or he might answer in a completely different way. And that's something to keep in mind whenever you pray. The second reading is from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. I, Paul, am already being poured out like a libation, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. The Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through the proclamation might be completed, and all the Gentiles. I'm going to read that again because I missed a word. The Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the proclamation might be completed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil threat and will bring me safe to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, in this message, we see St. Paul recognizing the fact that the Lord will preserve him from every evil. Does that mean bad things won't happen to him? No, it doesn't mean that, because he suffered tremendously and he ended up being martyred. But what Paul refers to is something that you can take comfort in, is that nobody in this world can take away your ability to make it to heaven. Your life with the Lord in heaven is guaranteed, provided, and this is a big provided that you follow his commands and don't get off the path. And if you do mess up, you go to confession and receive forgiveness for your sins. But there is no person that can take away your right to live forever in heaven, except, of course, you. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing to recognize that your destiny, your eternal destiny, is basically in your hands. If you choose to not listen to the Lord, if you choose to not cooperate with the grace that he gives you and follow his commands, you could end up in hell. But if you make an honest effort and do the best you can, and again, if you commit a mortal sin, you go to confession as quickly as possible, then you're going to be okay. Keep that in mind. I think it's a very comforting thought. The gospel is from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." As Catholics, this is an incredibly powerful gospel passage because it shows us that Jesus established a church under the leadership of Saint Peter, a very weak, very human individual who messed up quite a bit, but the Lord chose to put him as the leader of his church. If you're a Catholic and you have any questions from somebody who's not Catholic, questioning what it is that we believe, and why do we believe in the Pope, and why do we believe that our church is the one true church, well, this is your go-to Bible passage. It's really important. And we're so privileged to have the successor of St. Peter, Pope Francis, with us today to guide us. So this is a special day. Continue to ask Saints Peter and Paul to help you to stay on track and to follow the Lord's commands. I want to talk now about this idea of heavenly desires, true happiness. You know, what is it that's going to make me happy? Father Anthony Payone in the book My Daily Bread has some words of wisdom. I want to share these with you. If you're new to the program, you don't know about this book. This is a little book that was published in 1954 originally by the Confraternity of the Precious Blood out of Brooklyn, New York. It's a great book. It's still published today. Tan Books publishes it now. You can get it from Tan. You can get it from EWTN Religious Catalog. And it's a nice little handy book. It'll fit in your pocket. But the messages are so powerful. Today, the subject is heavenly desires. And the way this works is we're going to have a message to us that could come from Christ. So I want you to picture Christ saying this to you. And then we'll have something to think about, and then we'll end with the prayer. It really is simple. But in this day and age when so many people are searching for happiness, and I'm sure you're searching for happiness, I'm searching for happiness, we have this desire to be happy, but we often don't realize what we think will make us happy won't make us happy, and what we don't think will make us happy will make us happy. You follow that? Well, let's hear what Father has to say. Now remember, these words are words that could be spoken to you from Christ. "My child, be not too impressed by appearances. Foolish people think that a man can't help being happy if he is rich or powerful or if he has fame and influence. Be wise with my wisdom. Fix your heart on heavenly riches. Then you will see that passing glories and unsteady contentment are not as desirable as they seem. In fact, they are often a burden of work, worry, and fear." Ooh. And that's something that we don't typically think of. We look at these rich people, we look at movie stars, we look at incredibly wealthy individuals, and we say, wow, if only I had some of what they have, I would have so many less worries. But what we don't realize is that we would develop different kinds of worries. Let me continue on with this because this is really good. "Man's happiness does not consist in having a great deal. A moderate amount of this world's good things is enough for you if you are daily working for heaven. The more you see life from my viewpoint, the more you will realize that this earthly life is a cross, It has its trials, burdens, disappointments, and sorrows, all of which must be borne patiently. It's not easy to be a spiritual man because the good things of this world continually appeal to your feelings. Learn to govern your feelings with the reins of reason and grace. Control them with your intelligence and my commandments. As your desire for spiritual perfection grows, you will find yourself thinking more definitely of heaven. Your desire for heaven will become stronger and stronger. You may even have to control a dislike for the needs and obligations of daily life. What I would encourage you to do is something that was some advice that was given to me several years ago by a priest in confession when I was, and I've mentioned this on the show before, so I apologize if you've heard this before, but he was telling me, I was telling him that sometimes I feel as if I am too materialistic and that I am pursuing too many material things. And Father said, listen, we are material creatures. That's natural. He said, instead of trying to fight the desire, just ask the Lord for the grace to take that desire for material things away from you and to desire the things of heaven, right? That's so incredibly important to remember. Ask him to take that desire away from you. And you know, sometimes it's even hard to do that. I struggled even asking that because I like material things so much. But in the years since then, it has helped. And I find that my desire for material things is decreasing. I'm still not where I want to be. I don't have the money that I used to have now that I'm full-time as an evangelist. But I still have sometimes that desire for things, for comfort. Not necessarily for expensive gadgets and toys. I have that desire for comfort, and I have to fight that. And that's something that I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help me with. I'm asking for that grace, and you can do that too. Something to think about. The more one thinks of his eternal destiny, the more he'll realize that his earthly life is a journey towards something far grander than this world. He sees each day as a step toward heaven, and he looks at himself to see whether he is on the right path. Slowly he comes to value the events of his daily life according to God's will and heaven's eternal happiness. Take a page out of the book of the Blessed Mother and begin to ponder this in your heart every day. Think about heaven. Think about the fact that you'll be judged one day. It could be tomorrow. It could be tonight. We just never know. Are you ready? Are you ready to enter into your judgment and your ultimate destination? It's either heaven or hell. You might have to stop off in purgatory for a little bit, but you've got two ultimate destinations. And it could happen soon. I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm just trying to make sure you're ready. Live each day as if it's your last. Don't put off things until tomorrow. It's important to do them today. Let's close with the prayer. Lord, nothing on earth can give me the joy and happiness of heaven. In fact, there's no lasting joy apart from you. May I never be without your holy grace. I desire to see the real value of the earthly things which I love. May I never love any person or thing more than you. That is, may I never sin because of them. Amen. Isn't that good? That's a really powerful message, but it's really easy for us to love the things of the world. And again, it's not a sin. There's nothing wrong with appreciating material possessions. But once they get in the way of your relationship with the Lord, you know, I can't give this money to somebody else because I might need it someday, or I need to eat lunch out every day. Even something simple as that, by eating lunch out every day and paying extra money for the food, that money could maybe be better used elsewhere. But this is something you're going to have to work out with the Lord. But you have to talk to him about this. And there could be so many other things. I have an expensive car. I have a big house. So I have all these car payments, these house payments. Do I really need this? And again, only you can decide that. You and the Lord, you work that out. Ask him to help you decide. But it's a good thing to think about. Make sure you never let a day go by without talking to the Lord and thinking about heaven. Okay? God willing, I'm going to be back here tomorrow. I hope you can join me for the Thursday episode. And in the meantime, know that I'll be praying for you. Please keep me in your prayers as well. God bless and have a wonderful night. See you.